I kind of think about hide and seek right about now, because the topic I'm getting ready to cover, it's when you get down to your countdown and you're the one that's going to be on the hunt, you say, ready or not, here I come. And kind of that's how I feel about right about now as we get ready to talk about this idea of victorious secret when it comes to marriage. You know, sex is one of these things that it brings a lot of feelings with it. That sex can bring these feelings of fright. It can bring these feelings of fear. It can bring these feelings of failure. It can bring these feelings of fulfillment. It can bring these different feelings. That it tends to be that all of us have probably experienced most of these, if not all of these, if you've been at that place where you have been thinking about that very topic, whether it's with somebody relationally that you're married to, or outside of marriage, it has these thoughts. And I don't think that the church should pretend that sex doesn't exist. That instead, I think the church actually needs to talk about this. And we need to look at this and see, well, what is this thing all about? The churches, they may tend to ignore this. Churches at large may tend to ignore this topic. But our Bible certainly does not. And so it's something we need to look at. In fact, our Bible talks about this in a very fulfilling way of how we can have a very fulfilling sex life. And I think that we need to look at this and go, okay, well then what is that? And how is it that we're supposed to be living that out? And so today it's going to be a little bit of an attempt on my behalf to take us down some discovery processes that I hope that together we're going to discover some when to. And I hope that we're going to discover some why to. I'm not going to cover with you the how to, though. I'm not going to go near that particular one, okay? But certainly the when to and the why to, and it is certainly something that we see inside of Scripture. So let me just take a brief survey this morning. It's kind of very interesting. You know, I'm getting ready to talk about sex, and I'm saying let's take a survey. So we'll see how many participate, okay? So I want to ask you guys, how many of you guys have been in churches that just openly talk about this and teach on the subject of sex? Yeah, not very many hands. Yeah. Some of you guys have been around here long enough that I know it's probably because you were listening to me talk about it when you raised your hand. But it's something that we need to look at and we need to address and we need to see, because I think that we need a bigger vision of sex. Not a bigger visual, a bigger vision. A bigger vision. We need God's vision on this topic. In the book of Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4. We read this. It says, "Give honor to marriage and remain faithful to one another in marriage. For God will surely judge people who are immoral or those who commit adultery." And I know that right about now that talking about this subject, that some people go, hey, I need church to be my safe place. It needs to be my safe haven. It needs to be this place that I can come to and everything can take me away. And it's kind of like, you know, I grew up with this commercial that was about this bath product called Calgon. You know, and this Calgon bath product, it was the whole message was Calgon, take me away. You know, I just want to get lost and some of us think, hey, I just need to come to church so I can just get lost. I don't have to think about anything in the past, any of my past hurts, my frustrations, my failures. And yet here we are talking about something that brings some feelings of hurt for many of the people in the room. And it's not because I just want to stir the pot and make you have all this hurt and angst. It's actually just the opposite. I want to do all that I can do to help people never have to deal with that or feel that, never do anything or be part of something that's going to bring that around again. That God created us as spiritual beings. God created us as social beings. And He certainly created us as sexual beings. This is God's idea. This is how God created us. And so the more that we can understand about how He created us and how to live out the best way with how He created us, the better off we're going to be in this life. That God created us to experience all of these, the spiritual, the social, the sexual. He created us for these. That when God took this human and said, Adam, here you are. And I want to give you another person, another human, so that you can have a relationship. You can have companionship with another person. God didn't start by creating a buddy for Adam. He started by creating a bride. That when God knew that it was not good for man to be alone, God didn't go, so let me just give you a buddy. He said, no, I'm gonna give you a bride. And that there is a lot that comes with that. We're going to be spending the rest of our time scripturally in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and as we get into this, the guy that's writing this, Paul, he's writing it to these young believers in the faith, and as he's writing it to them, that this is a church that he had started, he had shared Christ with them, and many of them came to know Christ and trusted him, and they're on that path to living out a life that's honoring God, their heavenly Father. And so he's no longer there in Corinth, but yet there's some communication that takes place back and forth. And they had sent a message to Paul. And so Paul is responding to a question that they asked. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, starting in verse 1. Now, regarding the questions you asked in your letter, yes, it's good to abstain from sexual relations. To which right about now, a lot of the wives of the room are going, huh, I didn't know that was in the Bible. I'm going to use that. Honey, I just want to be biblical tonight. Yes, Paul said I should abstain. And so I 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, my favorite verse. And so he says this and he shares this. But we've got to get more context around this and go, well, why is he sharing this? What is he saying? Verse 2. But because there is so much sexual immorality, each man should have his own wife and each woman should have her own husband. That yes, you should abstain. You should stay single. You should abstain. You should just devote yourself to your heavenly Father. But because there's all the sexual immorality, because there's all the sexual tension, because there's all the sexual desire, each man should have a wife, each woman should have a husband, is what he says. Verse 3, the husband should fulfill his wife's sexual needs, and the wife should fulfill her husband's needs. To which sometimes it seems like those are diametrically opposed to each other. That I just want to be held and not be touched sexually. And for the guy, it's like, well, I will touch you in a non-sexual way if it can lead to some sexual touching. And us guys, we kind of start our timer. You know, it's kind of like, so how long do I do this part? Has it been long enough yet? And so there we are. And so since we should be trying to meet each other sexually, we've got to make sure that we understand things about each other. Now, some of you guys have already noticed my little gift bags over here, and you know, you're kind of like going, does he have something in there? Wow, he's kind of brave, you know, bringing that in here. Well, I do have something in here. Matter of fact, I'm going to share with you something that I've adapted from a guy named Bob Lapine, who's part of a ministry called Family Life Today. And he just shared some insights that wives should know about men and about things that husbands, that they need to know about women. And so I just adapted this. I just want to share some of this with you. And if you were here last week, I started by picking on the women. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to start with the guys today. And so there's going to be 7 things in here. And this isn't going to be on the video, so if you're wanting to take notes, these probably are noteworthy. If you're not normally a note taker, this is probably something worth taking note of. And so there's note areas and there's note inserts in your seat back pocket. and there's pens there. And so I just think it's probably going to be worth your while, whether you're married, whether you're single, to just get your eyes on this, to write it down in such a way you can go back, you can look at that, and you can think through it. So, and I know it's probably going to seem like more ladies are going to take notes about what I have to say to guys. Remember, honey, remember, I went ahead and wrote it down for you. Let's start with this. What husbands should know about sex is Hollywood's version of sex is fantasy-based, not faith-based. That guys, we need to know this. We need to understand that Hollywood's version of sex, it is fantasy-based. It is not faith-based. That can't be what we are looking at, that we're gauging that our sexual health based on what we are seeing when she drags us to a romantic movie. And so we just need to be aware of that. We need to be cautious in that. What husbands need to know about sex, the second thing, is your wife's sex drive is probably lower than yours. Not necessarily, but probably. That is probably lower than yours. And if it is lower than yours, that what you need to be doing is you need to be being as committed to her non-sexual needs as you want her to be committed to your sexual needs. That what is it when you look at her, that you know her, that you do with her, that you would know, what are her top three relational needs? Because I think when it comes to most guys, their top three, let's hear, their first one is sex. Their second one is sex. Their third one is sex. And then fourth is like, well, maybe a little bit of companionship. And, you know, but when it comes to your wife, what are her top three relational needs? And for you to know that, for you to understand that. A third thing that what husbands should know about sex is your wife needs a safe and secure relationship. That she needs to feel safe and she needs to feel secure in the relationship. That if she's not feeling safe and secure, it's going to be very hard for her to engage sexually with you with all of her heart, with all of her strength, with all that she has. It's going to be difficult for her to be intimate with you on the level that you desire for her to be intimate with you. And so do all that you can to make her feel safe and secure in the relationship. A fourth thing of what husbands need to know about sex is your wife wants to have sex with a companion, not with someone who she simply shares a roof with. She wants to have sex with a companion, not with someone she simply shares a roof with. And so that means that you've got to be spending time together in various ways, enjoying each other, having conversation, communicating together, doing things together that she likes. So you need to know this. A fifth thing that husbands should know about sex is you don't need to have an affair to be an unfaithful husband. That you don't need to have an affair to be an unfaithful husband. That you can have an affair by getting emotionally involved with somebody else. You can have an affair that is digital in nature and not physical in nature. And so beware, because there's more than one way to have an affair. A sixth thing that husbands should know about sex: there is no magical formula to get her aroused. I worked very hard with a group of people trying to make sure I could say a word that was appropriate for that one. But there's no magical formula. And the moment that you think you've figured out what it takes and this will get her aroused, she'll change the recipe. Last one, men. What husbands should know about sex is your wife is insecure about her body. That no matter how beautiful she is insecure about her body. And so you need to do all that you can do to help her feel secure about who she is. So that's the guy's list, the husband's list. Let's look at what wives should know about sex. Number one is sex is a gift from God. It's a gift from God. It's his plan. It's his way of gifting that into the relationship. And we need to know that. We need to understand that God created this and he gave it as a good gift for marriage. A second thing, what wives should know about sex. Sex is a big deal for men. Which most wives go, check, got that one. Figure that one out. But have you really? That it is. It's a big deal for your husband. And just because he craves sex and wants to be sexual with you a lot more than you want to be with him doesn't mean that he's perverted. It's God's wired him and created him this way. And so it's something that you should be using to enjoy intimacy as a couple. What wives should know about sex, a third thing, is how you respond to your husband when he initiates sex is critical. That how you respond to your husband when he initiates sex is critical. Now, this doesn't mean that every time he tries to initiate that your answer needs to be yes. So that when your answer is no, let your no be one that honors him. Let your no be a no that shows him you still desire him and you still honor him. You still respect him. And so find ways to communicate that and communicate it well. A fourth thing that wives should know about sex. Sex is a marital discipline. That it's a marital discipline. And that it needs to be something that you work on, making sure there's time and energy for in the relationship. Because there's so many other demands out there that demand our time. And so we need to make sure that we understand that. A fifth thing that wives should know about sex is men are visually oriented. We didn't just come along and go, that's how I want to be. It's how we were created. And because we're visually oriented, that we still enjoy seeing you in all of your glory, no matter how you look or what your age is. And so know that. A sixth thing that wives should know about sex is romantic men in novels and soap operas are fictional characters. They're fictional. In fact, ladies, if you're into romance novels and you like them more than movies, I think I know why. Because they have yet to be able to find an actor that can portray the romance on screen as well as what they can write about in the novels. And so just know that is fictional and that no man can live up to that. Number last, what wives should know about sex. Creativity is good. That there is a boundary line, and the boundary line is that sex is designed for marriage, and sex is designed for just a couple, two people, a man and a woman. That's who God designed this for, and that creativity is good. And I can tell you that several years ago, my wife and I went on a weekend retreat called A Weekend to Remember, and as we planned to go on this retreat, that I shared with her a couple weeks in advance, I said, Cheryl, I'm going to take care of the romance. You take care of the sex. And it was just, hey, I want you to prepare for that so that there can be some creativity and some fun there. But know that I'm going to do my part of doing for you what I know you really want. And that's the romance side. And it's just having that communication and knowing that and sharing that. And so as we look at this, let's get back to 1 Corinthians, because Paul isn't quite done yet with what he was sharing with these believers who were inquiring about sex and what do we do with this. Verse 4, the wife gives authority over her body to her husband, and the husband gives authority over his body to his wife. Now, this is authority that can't be abused or misused, and some certainly have. But when you do this in the context of a covenant relationship where you have two better halves seeking to bring honor and fulfillment to each other, this is one of the healthiest things that we could do, is to give authority over to each other. Last verse. Do not deprive each other of sexual relations. All of a sudden, the guys are going, oh, wait, there's a verse for me? Yeah, there is. Look at this. Do not deprive each other of sexual relations unless you both agree to refrain from sexual intimacy for a limited time so that you can give yourselves more completely to prayer. Not now, honey. I need to pray. You can't misuse it. But when it's there, you've been given a reason. Here's a reason of why, if both of you guys agree that you can go, you know, we just really want to see what God has in store for us and the direction for us and what's next for us. And we're just praying through this, praying for our family. And then he comes in and he says, afterward, you should come together again so that Satan won't be able to tempt you because of your lack of self-control. In marriage, that we have to fight against taking our sexual responsibilities for granted. Do we have to fight against this? Because it's so easy to begin to take these for granted. But when we understand the sexuality that God designed for marriage, and when you are married, get this, that when there is a mutually fulfilling sex inside the marriage, it's an act of worship. That worship's all about being obedient to God and living out his plans for our life. And worship is obedience. It's not just having this feeling because I'm sitting around or standing around with some few people and there's some music going on and I'm kind of singing along, so that's worship. Well, that is, but that's not the extent of it. That's not the end of it. Worship is about being obedient to your Heavenly Father. And inside of a marriage where there is mutually satisfying, fulfilling sex that is rewarding each other, that has intimacy with each other, it is an act of worship. And I know that there are going to be some guys that are going to be really excited to go home this week and worship with their wives. Aren't you? Oh, I didn't know that was worship. I'm going to get more spiritual, baby. Hey, let's go worship. And you want to worship tonight? You know? I'm just telling you, it's us living out God's plan for the relationship. And your spouse is the most important human relationship in your life. So you need to treat your spouse that way. That I was doing a little bit of research for this talk, and it's kind of interesting when a pastor is using Google and searching sex, preparing for a marriage. That could be a little dangerous and a little awkward, and somebody checking your browsing history and it's like, what's the pastor looking at? But I came across this and I thought, hey, this is just kind of interesting, so I figured I'd share it. That five practical benefits of sex. Five practical benefits. You know what? Yeah, the guys, you're probably going, okay, good. This is good ammunition for me. The ladies are probably like going, oh, great. But I'm just going to share them with you anyways. Number one, it burns calories. Burns calories. That hey, if you are on a diet, this can help you. It's something you can burn calories. In fact, if you have sex three times a week, that you will burn 7,500 calories a year. That's the equivalent of jogging 75 miles. So, hey, it's a practical benefit, right? Another practical benefit is it releases endorphins. And endorphins get triggered by very few things, but it's our body's natural way of giving us antidepressants. And there's only a few activities that we do that endorphins get released into our body. And so being sexual and sexually active is one of these. And so when you're married, hey, you get to be able to enjoy that, and you get to give yourself some antidepressants. You know, if you're feeling a little depressed, hey, might want to go try being sexually active with your spouse. Number three, it lowers cholesterol. Enough said. Fourth one, it slows aging. That Dr. David Weeks, in his book, Secrets of the Super Young, that he did research, conducted research with 3,500 people. And of the 3,500 people of varying ages, he indicated that those who had sex more regularly appeared much younger than their age. So there's not a fountain of youth, but this is the next best thing to it. Number five, a longer life. Now, unfortunately, this really only affects the men, but men that have sex three times a week, they reduce the risk of heart attack and strokes by 50%. So, hey, that's pretty significant. And guys that have sex five times a week reduce their risk of prostate cancer by 33%. It's just amazing about when we think about how God designed this, and he says, here's a gift for you to have in marriage. Here's just some practical benefits that come along with it. Now, I was a youth pastor for almost 15 years. And in youth ministry, I certainly, this would be a topic I would cover, a topic that I would share. And I can tell you that one of the strongest pieces of advice that I tried to give to teenagers was giving them an understanding of why teenagers tend to be sexually active. What is it that's going on? What is it that triggers? Why does it happen? And it's this simple, that guys will give love for sex. That guys will do all that they can do to make you feel loved, make you feel valued, make you feel special. Because why? Because they desire to have sex with you. And girls will give sex to receive love. Both of them are doing the opposites. And that we just need to understand that. That's where we're at as people. And as we look at that and see, we need to understand, so what should I do with that? And if you're not married, don't be fooled with being sexually active with who you're dating. Because you can tend to tell yourself that being sexually active with someone will make the relationship more complete. But what you will always discover is that it doesn't make the relationship more complete. It makes the relationship more complex. It makes it more complex. And then too many people end up staying in a relationship far longer than what they knew they should have, because they ended up getting sexually active. And it just complicates things when we try to use this gift outside of God's design. Dr. Gary Smalley, he's a relationship expert. He's a Christian relationship expert. And he went on this pursuit of trying to understand, when it comes to women, he wanted to know what would improve your marriage. So we interviewed over 60,000 women across the globe, not just the United States, asking them this question of what would improve your marriage. And the most frequent answer that he got was, if my husband would just talk to me more and share his heart, our marriage would improve. That if he would just talk to me more and he would share from his heart, that our relationship would improve. And time and again, he would ask this question, and this would be the answer that he would hear. That I just wish that he would listen more and understand that when I'm sharing something with him, I don't want him to fix it. I just want him to listen. Just communication, just having you to talk with. Not having you to fix it, having you to talk with. And so he asked a clarifying question, Dr. Smalley, to all of these women. And this was his clarifying question. He said, you're saying that if you had better, more meaningful communication with your husband, your marriage would improve? And with the 60,000 women that he asked that question with, the answer was always 100% yes. If we had better communication, more meaningful communication, our relationship would improve. A marriage expert named John Gottman. He says that a minimum of 20 minutes a day in true communication with each other decreases a couple's chance of divorce and greatly increases marital satisfaction. It's the power of 20 minutes. And guys, you've got something else that you want to do with 20 minutes with your wife. And so why not just commit to spending 40 minutes together? And make it a winning relationship. Make it a relationship that you can each honestly describe each other as your better half. When you begin to live out God's design for your marriage. Every couple, without exception, every couple will have sexual problems at some point in their relationship, including Cheryl and I. Every couple will have sexual problems at some point in the marriage. And so it takes having some honest dialogue, some honest conversations. And you can't spend too much time communicating. That you need to communicate because communication, it unlocks intimacy. And I believe that there is a direct correlation between how much speaking a couple has with each other with how much sex a couple has with each other. That there needs to be that communication. And think about it. The day that we say, I do, the day we say, I do, we create a monopoly. We create a monopoly, a relationship monopoly, that our spouse commits to have sexual relations with no one else. It's just us. There's no other competition. It is now a monopoly. And regardless of whether or not we act thoughtfully and creatively, or whether or not that we take and we go, you know what, I'm just going to just kind of slide by and be a slacker. Regardless, it is now a monopoly. And unfortunately, when there's a monopoly, some people and their relationship, they stop putting out their best efforts, their best energies. Because it is now a monopoly. So you need to ask, do I want to reward my husband's commitment to me? Do I want to reward that or do I want to make him regret it? We've got to be asking ourselves, do I want to bless her or do I want to take her for granted? Because it is now a monopoly. And I can't finish a relationship talk without talking about the big O. And the big O in marriage is oneness. This is the big O. This is the big thing that we should be striving for, that we should be having, that we should work it with everything we've got, with all of our heart, so that there is oneness in our relationship. Because oneness is the one thing that guarantees an improving relationship. It's oneness. So if you're married, my hope and my prayer is that you're going to go home and this week that you're going to have some candid conversations about Victoria's Secret. And that you're going to have some candid conversations with each other. That wives, you're going to talk about your need for communication and what it is that you're looking for and how you guys can have that and how do you protect it and how do you set up to make sure that that's not being neglected. And that guys, you're going to be talking about the importance of sex and how that can be protected and how that can be something that we know, hey, that can be there and that we can be Mr. and Mrs. Better Half and absolutely live out the destiny that God had in mind for the marriage. And if you're single, if you are not married, I hope that you will leave here with a fresh motivation to trust God when it comes to this gift of sex and where it belongs, the parameters which within it's a gift, and how inside those parameters it brings benefits. But outside of those parameters, it almost always brings bitterness. So think about what you are doing and look for a way to be in the kind of relationship that can lead to a covenant relationship to where you can experience the Victoria's Secret, God's way. Pray with me. God, you certainly knew what you were doing when you created us the way that you did. But too many times we act out in ways that we certainly reveal and show that we don't know what we're doing. So God, thank you for giving us an instruction manual, your word that shows us some things. And I pray that marriages that seem to be on a healthy path, marriages that seem to be on a broken path, I pray that you would be working in these marriages. And that every marriage represented here, every current marriage, every future marriage, I pray that you would direct the couple to experience this big O of oneness. Jesus, it's in your name we pray. Amen.